Okay, we are Bez Hashem. We're going to finish the Shara of Zarius today, and we'll begin the Shara Simcha. It is highly unlikely that we will complete the Shara Simcha this summer. Shara Simcha is a long Shara, but let's first finish up the last paragraph of Shara Achzarius. Says the Shara Achzarius, Gam ze tshuva la'aniyim ha'omrim b'men asetova. Very common thing that you hear from people, that a person who feels that they are powerless. He gives the example of a poor person who feels that, okay, if I'm going to give tzedakah, what value is it going to be? My couple of prutos that I give to tzedakah? My $18 check is not building your shul, it's not supporting your yeshiva. You need the big guys. You need the $1 million donors. You need the people with their name on the wall, in the front, and the outside, and whatever. Right? Those are the people that you need. You don't need me. You don't need my $18. You don't need... So a person thinks, so what can I do already? You know, well, I'm used as far as therefore I bear no responsibility to help out other people, because so sometimes it's in the form of money and sometimes it's in the form of power. I don't have any influence, I don't have any ashpa, so in what way am I going to be able to help other people? So no, here's your answer. You want to know b'men asatova? What we said yesterday, that when you do mitzvos and maisim tovim, you are being mative to yourself, your children, your grandchildren, dorei doros, and the rest of humanity. Because the schar that comes from mitzvos is often something that will benefit everybody. The onesh that comes from averos is often something that will cost everybody, those that do it and those that don't. Hello, ain bi yadei mu'umah tzedakah litein tzedakah laniyim. Someone's going to say, I don't have any tzedakah to give. The ve'elu dvarim shel hevel ein. That's narishkeit, that's silly, that's ridiculous. Ki yochel litein tzedakah b'masav atovim uv'kiyum ha-mitzvos. Everyone can give tzedakah. How? Just by doing mitzvos. That's also a tzedakah. Even that which you think is only ben adam l'makom is really ben adam l'chavero as well, because it benefits everybody else. Asher yizar b'avodas HaBoreis Baruch b'chol yicholto. If you create an atmosphere in a yeshiva, in a shul, in a community of avodas Hashem, you raise the bar a little bit, and then everyone is raised up just a little bit because you've raised the bar of avodas Hashem. Haven't you done the greatest tzedakah that you've enabled other people to increase and enhance their own sense of avodas Hashem? And because of all that tzedakah, because of all of that good that you've done, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to bring all sorts of blessing to the entire world. Hayesh tzedakah gadol mizos. It's the biggest part of tzedakah. A guy writes a $1 million check to a yeshiva. He's helped that yeshiva. But you do mitzvos that cause HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be mative to the entire world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's reach is much bigger than any one donor's reach is ever going to be. Gamma ani yitein tzedakah ma'at. And not only that, even when it comes to money, a poor person does have to give tzedakah. A poor person cannot just say, oh, my $18 is not going to help you, so therefore I'm pater from giving. No, a poor person has to give tzedakah. Afilu misparnis minat tzedakah. A wild halacha, very hard to understand. The Gemara in Gittin tells us that even a person who only gets supported from tzedakah has to give tzedakah. I often tell this to a young couple. Young couples often, when they get married, they're not yet self-sufficient. They're not yet fully able to support themselves. So the guy, you know, commits, does a Kabbalah's Kinyan on what it says in his Ksuba, that he's going to support his wife, and he's going to take care of her, and he's going to do everything that it says in the Ksuba, but he knows he can't, right? He knows that he's not really going to, that his parents are going to help, and his in-laws are going to help, and they're gonna, for a while, until he finishes dental school or medical school or whatever, you know. So if he's going to be a doctor in about 20 years from now, he'll be able to do it, but he'll do it well. And if he's going to be whatever, you know, he knows it's going to take some time. So they'll often ask the Shaila, so we're getting X amount of money from the parents and X amount of money from the in-laws. Do we give Meister on that money? Do we give tzedakah on that? Do we give Meister Ksav on that money? So what do you think? You give Meister on money that you're getting from someone else. So your parents and your in-laws don't have an obligation to support you. It's tzedakah. I mean, you are their tzedakah. Right? So, can you give tzedakah from tzedakah? So, the halacha is you're supposed to give, not ma'aser, probably, but you're supposed to give a little. Why? What's the value of giving if you're not really going to make a difference anyway, and if you have to be mekabel tzedakah?
It's still the same tzedakah. I mean, if they give me enough money for a piece of chicken, I can eat a little less than a piece of chicken and sacrifice it in my lot.
Right, if that's the way, if that's the way it works, or if you know they're going to give however much money you need to live, and then you know they have to give a little more.
People pay with their souls.
Ah, so the Rambam writes in his Perush Mishnayos Pirkei Avos, Hakol Lefi Rov Hamasa, famous Shittas Rambam. You have $1,000 to give. You can either give $1,000 to one place by writing one check, or you can give $100 to 10 different places. So says the Rambam, even though greater impact, $1,000 to one place, greater impact, better thing to do is $100 to 10 different places, because it's 10 acts of giving. And when you give, you become a giver. And it's a very dangerous place to fall into when you say, at the beginning of marriage, let's say, or when you're a bachur or whatever, I'm being supported, so therefore I'm not a giver right now. And then you fall into the habit of not being one who gives. You never want to fall into the habit of not being one who gives, because there's going to come a day, Amir Hashem, where you will have the capacity to give a lot. And if you're not in the habit of giving, if you don't train yourself, if you don't habituate yourself to giving, you will not give. It is critical. Even an ani has to give tzedakah, not because he's going to be helping so much. Whatever meager amount of tzedakah he's giving, he's not going to help all that much. But it's going to help him a lot. It's reminiscent a little bit, one second. It's reminiscent a little of the conversation to Tonosovus HaRasha and Rabbi Akiva, where Tonosovus HaRasha and Babasa Dav Yud says to Rabbi Akiva, oh yeah, the Shalom guys and Babasa, right? Says to Rabbi Akiva, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves Aniyim so much, I have a great idea for Hashem. Why doesn't he give them money if he loves them, right? So Rabbi Akiva says, you think that's what it's about? Tzedakah is about supporting the Ani? HaKadosh Baruch Hu could support the Ani without me. It's about helping me. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to give me the zchus. He wants to give me the mitzvos. So it's, if you have that hashkafa, that it's not about the impact of the tzedakah, it's about creating this sense of making me a giver, making me someone who is a less selfish person, is a more giving person. So that certainly could be accomplished with an ani. It could be accomplished with an ani in greater measure than with an ashir. Because the guy who made $100 million last year, if he gives $10 million, he's not going to feel much of a loss. He'll still be able, it's not going to change his lifestyle all that much. With the ani, it might actually, that $18 might actually change his lifestyle. As far as what he feels he's giving up, it might actually be something bigger. I have a question.
That value of inculcating it to yourself, can you do that, or your parents, or on the community?
So I always tell a young couple, speak to your parents. Not to give Meister. Meister is too much, I think. Meister is a minute, it's not a chiyuv. So it's a three-way mechlok shushon, and we pass in a minute. But daraisa drabon in a minute, we pass in a minute. But you have to speak to your parents and explain to them that I don't want to be someone who never gives. And in every situation that a couple had a mature conversation with the parents, they said, of course, you can give your $18 every 2 weeks or something, whatever it is, whatever the amount, that, it didn't bother them, a kiyuze, didn't bother them, and it's a drop in the bucket, as far as they're concerned. Okay, says the Yochzing further, v'yeschoro kafel mechupel, and then you'll have double, quadruple schar, ki ama'at mishalo chashuv kamo harbe shalo ashir. The little bit, what we just said, the little bit that the ani gives up, is the equivalent of much that the ashir gives up. It's not about how much you do, whether you do a lot, whether you do a little, as long as it's kavanas liba l'shamayim. And this is true not only in tzedakah, this is true in all elements of avodas Hashem. You have one person who has a job where he's extremely busy, and he works very, very hard, and he gets home at night, and he's exhausted at the end of a long day. And yet, he still learns a little bit before he goes to sleep, wakes up a little bit early in the morning, and learns a little bit before Shacharis. And grand total, what did he learn already? An hour? 2 hours? Yeah. And then you have another guy who doesn't have a job. He's just, he's retired early, you know, he's just enjoying himself, because he's already made all the money that he ever needs. And he has all day to do whatever he wants. And he learns 3 hours of that day. So which is the greater tzaddik? Which is the one who's doing a greater act of avodas Hashem? It's echra marbe echra mamit uvachi chad libel shemaim. Life circumstances often dictate whether you're able to be a marbe or a mamit. But if you're mechavin libel shemaim, if you have kavan l'shem shemaim, ultimately you'll find that you'll maximize your measure, whatever your capacity is, you'll maximize it when you're mechavin libel shemaim. So it's not about, and this is always a critical thing, it's not about measuring yourself against anybody else. It's not about saying, well, that person does this, and therefore I have to feel small because I don't equal or measure up to that person. That person has an entirely different life, entirely different Yetzer Hara, entirely, even if, but we went to the same school, we have similar types of families, we grew up in the same community, we're in the same, it doesn't matter. Every human being is so different that it's not about the other person. It's about what you're capable of doing. And very, it works in both directions. A lot of times people feel small because, look, my friend is doing so much, he's accomplishing so much, how come I can't do that? So sometimes it makes a person feel small, and that's not the way to measure yourself. And sometimes it makes a person feel falsely big. I may not have been great, but I'm better than those guys that are hanging out in the Ezra's Nashim, you know? I'm better than those guys that show up whenever they show up and just, you know, schmooze the whole time. And that's good enough. Because, you're going to go up to the Ribbono Shel Olam and you're going to say, better than, let's do a better than judgment, rather than a Holchon Lefan of Kivnei Maron. And the Yemei Adin, right? What do we say? What does the Gemara Rosh Hashanah say? The Mishnah Rosh Hashanah, that Kolo and Kulo goes in front of the Ribbono Shel Kivnei Maron. The Gemara says, my Kivnei Maron, and it gives three different answers, but they all, at least on the Pashut level, mean the same thing, one at a time. That you go in front of Kodesh Baruch Hu one at a time. What does one at a time mean? It means it's not relative. It's you. It's relative to what you could do, not relative to what anybody else can do. Okay, so Bavashi Chavin Libel Shemaim. So now we begin the Shara Simcha. Now, Shara Simcha is a fascinating Shara, and certainly the beginning of it is very fascinating, because if I were to tell you, don't look, don't cheat, don't peek ahead. Simcha, good or bad? Meaning, we know, Urcha Sadikim, every mitzvah is both good and bad, right? But, Achzarius is mostly bad, right? Simcha, good or bad? He's going to lead off with good, and he's going to say how great Simcha is. If there's 20 pages in the Shara Simcha, 18 of them are going to be how great Simcha is. And then maybe we'll have 2 pages about, the dangers of unfettered Simcha. It's interesting, he doesn't do that. As we'll see, in the very first paragraph, he already starts talking about the downside of Simcha, which is interesting. I don't know if it's a social commentary or whatever, but it is what it is. So let's see. Hasimcha hamida azos ba'al adam machmas rov shalva belibo beli pegara. A person experiences Simcha when he has a certain sense of relaxation and not too much, nothing too traumatic in his life. Meaning, it is certainly true that traumatic experiences shake a person up and can affect a person's simcha. Typically, the research tells us that traumatic experiences affect our simcha in the short term, not in the long term. Right? A person suffers, rachmana litzlan, a terrible accident. So, typically speaking, it will shake him up for a little while, but they'll readjust. Even if it was life-changing, even if they become rachmana litzlan, they become paraplegic or whatever, they'll readjust, and they'll generally find that the same level of simcha or close to it that they had before in their lives. But when they're going through that trauma, when they're going through that pegara, it certainly affects their simcha in that moment. So it certainly has that effect. So that's generally what simcha is. V'adam amasik ta'avaso, v'layero lo davar amatzivoso. A person who is able to fulfill his taivas, meaning he wants something and he's able to, if he's hungry, he eats, if he's cold, he puts on a coat, if he's hot, he turns on the air conditioner. And all of that he's able to do that, he's able to take care of all those things without anything that will sadden him. But say yes, amech tadir, and a person will have a constant level of simcha. Umi sheyesh lo simcha tadir, and someone who has constant simcha, so he starts off with great. Ye eru panav vezivo mavhik vegufo bari vein ziknem meheris lavoalav. He's not going to age quickly, and this is again research bears this out. People who have a sense of simcha. That's why I think the difference between married people and single people in terms of life expectancy is something ridiculous, like 4 or 5 year difference in life expectancy, because people feel that sense of being able to share with another human being, that ability to share your life with somebody else, that brings a person a sense of simcha, and therefore with simcha comes less stress, less aging, all of that, and it's great, and you're a more cheerful person to be around. People want to be around you. But when you are b'simcha, very often simcha leads to schok. Schok is that a person is clowns around a lot. The ein roi lish maskil laharbos bischok. An intelligent person, a person of dignity, should not be a person of constant schok. Ki im aschok mishtatefes das kala. Schok leads to lightheadedness, frivolity. Pasuk Kehelet tells us that the crackling you hear in the fire under a pot, that's like the laughter of the fool. What does that mean? The crackling of the fire, that doesn't mean anything. It's just noise. It's background noise. The laughter of a fool doesn't express simcha per se. It doesn't necessarily express that which is worthy of being misameach about. It's just noise. That's the noise a fool makes. One of the signs of what a shota is, of what the definition of a shota is, a shota, someone who's deranged, is someone who, when he goes to a funeral, he's cracking up the whole time. You know, as they're crying and whatever, laughing. He laughs inappropriately. So that's a sign of foolishness. Ve'ein ro'i l'mishiyesh lo musar, l'snaig b'schok b'moshavos ma'amados. A person who's a bal musar shouldn't be someone who's always running for frivolity. That they work in not in tandem, but in conflict with each other. Yira and schok. The more schok he has, the less imora he's going to have. Kibishas schok and yochel chavin achar shum yiras Hashem elokim. You don't really have a profound sense of yiras shemayim when engaged in schok. V'kol shkenim yischak b'tiyulim or b'kubios. Right? What's kubios? Mesachek b'kuvia. Right? He's playing games all the time. He's just busy with playing games. I just saw. Where did I see it? On one of the news sites. An 18-year-old. A young man, a non-Jew, was shot and killed. So that for his funeral, they didn't want to just put him in a casket. They wanted to show him in his happiest, how he lived his life. So they set him up, they propped him up in a chair. They put on his Celtics jersey. They had set him up with a game controller in his hands. So he's playing Ki'ilu, right, the game, and a bag of Doritos. Next to him, right? This was his life, right? Is that the saddest thing? It's much sadder than his death. This is his life. No? That was a person's life. That's the saddest thing in the whole entire world. So, but the whole life is schok. There's no yira when there's schok like that. Shein yira Hashem love. A person's life is gaming. What does that mean? So you have to be careful who your kids' friends are, who your kids' influences are. Rav means an influence. So he focuses a little bit on the negative of Simcha, but we'll see Mirtz Hashem also going forward the positive of Simcha as well.